Hopefully you managed to catch the other two sermons we placed online that kind of had missing pieces from the story, but let me kind of catch you where we're up. Remember, Josh and his formal instructor had a falling out over that certificate. And, well, Mom kicked the instructor out of the house, and Josh went back to the park to find his chess magic where he began. And Josh went back into the tournament circuit, and he's now made it all the way to the end. He's made it to the final game where they're going to decide the champion. And as that clip opened up, he is sitting there staring at that little bitty chess piece. That was the chess piece that he found that started this entire movie. And I have a question for you. What's the difference between that certificate and the certificate that the instructor gave him at the beginning, that showed him there at the beginning? And if you think back to that other one, remember that was a Xerox. It was a Xerox of a Xerox. It was a copy of a certificate. It really wasn't the real thing. And if you think about the Xerox certificate and the one Josh now has, you might think, well, the difference is that one's bigger. Maybe the difference was that one was on fancy paper. Maybe the difference was that one had colored ink. Ooh, that made it kind of special. Maybe the difference was the fact that it had a frame. And the other one, he just kind of handed to him, right? This one was in the actual frame. And I submit to you, none of those things are what made that certificate more important. What made that certificate authentic is the idea that in the eyes of his teacher, the teacher was acknowledging you have received this not because you earned it, not because you collected enough points in a book. You have earned it because I have been watching you, and you know what? You got it. You understand this game. You understand all of the moves. And really, isn't that what we're after? Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. This must be your focus if you're ever going to figure out how to live this Christian life and how to be still in God. I don't do this Christian thing because it makes me feel good. Honestly, sometimes it makes me feel frustrated. Honestly, this is a lot of work. I mean, my bed and my blanket and my pillow would have been a lot better on a day like today than coming out here, but I missed it. There was something not right when I wasn't here. And I don't do this to make it me feel good. That's not why I come here. I don't come here because I'm trying to earn some certificate. At the end of the goal, if all Jesus did was hand me a piece of paper and say, here, fill it in, I'd be disappointed. Because I'm not here to achieve just a ticket to heaven. That's not what I'm trying to do. But those words from the master's mouth, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I'm after. That's the goal. I want Jesus to look at me and say, you know what? What you did, I appreciate, and it was well done. Thank you. That's it. I'm looking for the approval of the master teacher. That's why we play the game the way that we play it. Now, I do want you to see something about that certificate that Josh got. The certificate didn't relieve his fear. He's still afraid. What's he afraid of? Well, he's afraid he's going to disappoint everybody by not winning. Okay? So it didn't take away his fear. And you know what? He still must play the final match. It's not like they said, oh, you got your certificate. You win the championship. No match needed. Okay? You're there. He still had to go out and play the game. You know what? He was still not guaranteed to win that match. Trust me, I don't think he was going to take that framed certificate out and hold it up in front of his opponent. His opponent's like, you know what? You're too much for me. I quit. I'm just going to walk away. No, that's not what's going to happen. He's still going to have to go and play the game just like he was going to have to do it before he had the certificate. But you know what? None of that's really going to matter to him now. Because now, win or lose, Doesn't matter how the pieces get moved. He understands the idea. He will play with confidence, not because of that piece of paper, but because of the faith the instructor has in what he's learned. And that's important, because this series is ending today. This is part 7, so there are 6 already online. 2 of them were only done online sermon, and this is the last one. But I am hoping that even though this is the last one of these sermons, that you're not going to take this sermon series and take all those little bulletin fill in the blanks, and you're going to file them away and say, okay, I finished another one. Check that one off. I got some more points in my book. I survived the sermon series. My hope is you're going to take all of these things that we put before you, all of these skills of what it takes to be still, and you're going to put them into your life, and you're going to take them forward, because you know what? This is one of those lessons we have to learn, how to be still in God. And you know, there's a lot of things up there: solitude, meditation, celebrate, fast, pray, rest, listen. But all of them will be useless if you don't put this last skill into the box. And I don't know anybody that likes this skill, because this skill is the ability to wait. I hate waiting. I do. I hate waiting in the lines at grocery stores. I hate waiting for the internet browser to catch up. I hate waiting for people that I'm waiting on, and I'm just like, okay, are they here yet? And I hated waiting this morning when we got here and I had everything done. I'm like, okay, where's everybody at? Oh, wait a minute. I still have another 20 minutes for anybody supposed to be here. I don't like to wait. But waiting is one of those things that we have to do. And to look at this idea of waiting, I want you to see there are actually 5 definitions of what it means to wait. So here is what waiting means. It means to remain stationary in readiness or expectation. So I'm not moving, but I'm ready. Okay? And then it says to stay where one is or delay action until a particular time or something else happens. So that means I'm waiting, I'm ready, and I'm waiting for the signal or the appointed time. I'm waiting for the clock to tick down and say it's time to go, it's time to start. Those are the definitions that we usually associate with waiting, but you understand waiting has some other things. It means to pause for another to catch up. So that means sometimes I have to wait just because I'm 2 steps ahead of you. Sometimes it requires me to put my life on pause, not because I'm waiting for some moment or some. I'm just waiting for everybody else to catch up with me. I don't run, but I imagine that'd be very frustrating if you were running a race and you were told you could only get so many feet in front of a race. And so every time you got at least 5 feet in front, you had to stop and wait for the rest of the group to catch up. Now, what do? You run as hard as you can so that you can get to the finish line first, as far away from everybody else. But sometimes in our life, we just have to pause and we have to wait. It means that the wait is to look forward expectantly. So this idea of waiting also is the idea of building up anticipation. But it also says to hold back expectantly. So that means when I wait, that means I've got everything I need. I've got all my pieces. I've got all of my little boards set up, and I know how to win the game. But I have to hold back. I have to wait. And just so you know, in case you missed the memo, I don't like this word, because I don't like to wait for anything. I like things done when I want them done. But you know what? Here's the real reason. Waiting requires, and oh, here's that word. Ugh. I like this one less than I like waiting. Waiting requires patience. Be still before the Lord and wait for him. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And when I look at this particular verse, 37, verses 7 through 8, these verses, it starts off with those familiar words, right? Be still. So you get what that means, right? That means to be patient requires us to be still. But to be still requires that I be patient. I once had somebody tell me, God will never give you patience, only opportunities to be patient. If you ask God, God, teach me patience or give me patience, he's like, fine, I know how to give you patience. I'll give you opportunities where you actually have to be patient. This is a skill that we have to learn if we're going to be still. But this idea of patience also means that we got to look at these other two words. Be still and be still before the Lord and wait patient for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Essentially, he uses this phrase, do not fret. Now, are you a fretter? I can be a fretter. There are two kinds of people in the world. Well, okay, there's two extremes, and everybody kind of fits in the middle. There are those people that they plan out their life in great detail, and they have everything all figured out. From the time they're like knee-high to a grasshopper, they grow up, they've got their entire life planned out. We usually give these people a label called OCD, or they're very structured people. And then there are those people that are all the way on the other end of the spectrum, and we call them fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants people. They're making it up as they go. And everybody kind of fits in the middle. Either you kind of lean one toward the other, but everybody fits in that spectrum of either you're very structured or you're very fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants. And usually we associate the idea of fretting as the people that are very structured. That's not what fret means. Fret does not mean that because I've got it all planned out and didn't happen and then I'm trying to adjust my schedule. That's not fretting. Do you know people that fly by the seat of their pants fret also? You see, this idea of fretting, waiting patiently requires focus. And when I begin to fret is when my focus begins to shift away from the things God wants me to do. And usually what ends up happening is I begin to look around at the circumstances around me, and I begin to fret, not because my plan is not going right. I'm beginning to fret because the Bible says don't base your actions on the actions of others. Somebody does something to upset my apple cart, so then I have to rearrange my apples to allot for them, and I begin to fret because somebody took control away from me. That's what fretting is all about, the loss of control. And then we also begin to fret because we're looking around and we're seeing people that aren't doing things in the way that I think they should be done, and they're winning. They're succeeding. And so just because they're moving doesn't mean it's time for me to move. They're moving, so what do? I got to run to get to catch up with them. We call it keeping up with the Joneses. We want to keep up, and we want to succeed. And sometimes we've got to realize that waiting patiently means that when we see the way somebody else is doing it, doesn't mean that's the way we're supposed to do it. We are a copycat society. If somebody does something and it generates success, I guarantee you on the market within the next couple years, there'll be like 10 different knockoffs of that success. Because that's what we do. Somebody else made money this way, so we make money this way. Somebody else was successful this way, so somebody else managed to win the game this way, so I'm going to do the same thing. You're going to watch that in spades over the next few months as you watch the football teams playing for next season. So everybody's going to be looking for an old quarterback now. Why? Because an old quarterback won the Super Bowl. So that must be the way you do it. So we're all going to go out and look for old quarterbacks now. A few years ago, everybody was looking for the young quarterbacks. Why? Because the young quarterback won the Super Bowl. So that's what we're copycats. We can't wait and look at God and let God decide how we're supposed to do this. We just want to do things the way everybody else does because we're all about winning the game. We're all about this idea of success. Well, here's the thing you got to remember. We are not waiting to win the game. We are not waiting to see what everybody else is doing. We are not supposed to be reacting to what others are doing on the board. We are supposed to be looking for God. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. I waited patiently. Not fretting. Not trying to say, God, hurry up. Not only am I waiting, I'm waiting patiently. And again, this is not in my skill set very well. I can do it sometimes, but most of the time I can be a very impatient person because I want what I want. I see the path. I can't help that you can't see the path, but I see the path, and so we're going to move. And God said, you know what? I didn't say move. Don't move until you see it. And sometimes seeing it means you have to wait patiently. Now, that brings us to a really good point. Waiting and being patient are two different things. Everybody at some point in your life will have to wait. Kids have to wait for Christmas morning, even though all the packages are underneath the tree. I go to the grocery store when they say the word snow, and there's 150,000 people, it feels like, standing there, all of them with 40 gallons of milk and 20 loaves of bread and 10 packs of toilet paper, and they're standing there. Inevitably, I always get in the register where they run out of money or change or something goes, and you're just sitting there. Everybody ends up having to wait. So this is not a sermon about teaching you to wait. The idea is, can we learn how to wait patiently? The idea of we're anticipating, but we're going to hold back until we see God move the pieces where we're supposed to be. So, like anything, I don't have to teach you how to be patient, because only God can teach you that. And again, if you ask for it, let me go ahead and caution you. Be prepared. There's going to be a lot of waiting in your life if you ask God, I need to be patient. Okay? Waiting begins the idea of being patient. What are you going to focus on? But what I do want to do is to encourage you to ask God to help you get patience by going through these lessons. I'm going to give you 10 quick benefits of what you get when you put patience into your toolbox. Okay? So here they go, and we're going to do these kind of in a quicker order because, hey, there's 10 of them. We got a long ways to go. This is like the top 10 reasons you need to be patient. Here's what you get. Benefit number one that you get. It helps you focus on long-term goals. Psalm chapter 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his words I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. More than a watchman waits for the morning. No, I didn't put that in there. That actually is in there twice. And I think it's in there twice because they want us to see how important this idea of long-term goals. Why does a watchman wait for the morning? Because he's standing up on the hill and he's guarding the city when things are at their darkest point. And he's waiting for the first light. And he's just sitting there. And as he's watching and he's waiting, he understands what's going to happen. But it gives him the ability to see things clearly. You want to make sure you can see life clearly. This idea of long-term goals, when I'm not able to wait, then you know what I usually do? I make short-term goals, little bitty pieces. And then when the pieces don't fit together, I just keep changing the plan. When I learn how to wait patiently, I can sit back and I can stare at the horizon and I can ponder what God wants for my life. I can ponder the pieces on the board. I can look at the board, forget about the opponent. And then I can decide, okay, Lord, here's where we're going. Not today, not tomorrow, all the way down the road. Lord, I'm going to make these plans. And this is what patience does. Think of all the people in the Bible, Daniel, Job, Noah, 120 years building an ark. They had to wait patiently for God's plan. It did not happen overnight. It was a long-term goal thing. You know what else you get? Being patient helps you make more rational choices. Where the revelation awaits an appointed time, it speaks to the end and will not provoke false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. The idea is that when I begin to wait patiently, I don't just make choice after choice. Has anybody ever here made a choice in the moment and then you live to regret that choice? Yeah, everybody's done it. Have you ever thought about it and I've only waited? You know, they have this thing called buyer's remorse because you know what happens the moment you buy something, right? It goes on sale somewhere else, or the better deal comes along, and you're like, oh, if I'd only waited one more day, I could have saved 20% or got something even better. And this idea of waiting is rational choices. I don't just make them because I'm going to satisfy myself now. I'm making rational, long-term choices. Only patient people make these kind of choices. If you're making decisions in the spur of the moment, you're only going to look at a very small set. If you're looking at things in the big picture and you're waiting for God, God's going to let you see the whole thing before you make the choice. How about this one? I love this one. It builds our reputation for persistence, Psalm 26:21. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though, I think I put the same thing twice. I think I actually did. No, I didn't. Okay, try that again. For the revelation that waits for the appointed time, it speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, it will wait. It will certainly come and will not delay. I did. I wrote the same verse twice. So I've got that one down there twice. Let's try the one on the board here. For the revelation that waits for the appointed time. I think I did the same thing twice. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, we're having one of those moments. See what happens when you do things quickly? I did that on purpose, honestly. No, I didn't. It gives us a reputation for being persistent. Really, it does. If you're patient, you don't get discouraged as often. When you just kind of do things and they fail, then you're trying to always make up for the next thing, and you're having problems. When you wait and you're patient, what you get is persistence out of it. You don't get discouraged. You don't have this up and down roller coaster relationship. You have a nice, smooth relationship. It helps, make sure I didn't put the same verse three times. It helps us develop a skill set. Number four. Let us not become weary in doing good, for our proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I marvel at people that can play an instrument. Why? Because I can't do it. Okay? But if I asked Ken and Lauren and Steve and I said about playing an instrument, I said, so you guys were born and like the week after you were born, they shoved a piano or a drum or a guitar in front of you and you just knew how to do this, right? Probably not. You probably spent a lot of time listening. You probably spent a lot of time practicing. You probably had to learn some skills to actually play the instruments that you play. All of that took patience. Could you imagine that the person that wants to play on a concert pianist, and they sit down at the piano for the first time and they can't play beautifully if they just said, I quit? That's not how you learn. This idea of patience goes into being able to learn a skill. If I don't have any patience and I never learn anything new, I just keep doing the same thing over and over again, and I never add anything new to my repertoire. Patience. It's the way that we build skills. It's the way that God gave us for doing this. And so we need to learn to be patient if we want new skills in our set. Works the same thing with Scripture. You know that? If you don't patiently read God's Word, then you're never going to get anything new out of it. If you don't patiently try to sit there and understand what God is saying, people always say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. You know why? Because you're not patient with it. You want to read it like a comic book, and the moment you read it, you want to get something out of it. And God says, it doesn't work that way. This is a skill that takes patience. You have to sit down and think about what it's saying, just like an instrument or a sport or riding a bike. This idea of patience gives us a skill set that we can take. Number five, it makes you a people magnet. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Yeah, patient people are usually positive people. Think about it. When you've met somebody that is patient, and I find that people that are older tend to be better at this than I am, you find somebody that is a patient soul. They are usually a very positive influence on the people around them. They've taken time to take stock, and everybody's got somebody now that's a period in their mind, that patient person that you always seem to go to and ask the advice from. That patient person that always seems to have the right thing to say at the right moment. That patient person, and what happens is because you're patient, you become a people magnet. People want to come to you for your wisdom and your knowledge. And what God is doing in your life. And when you become a people magnet, you know what that gives you, right? The ability to influence people for Christ. Patient people that are not patient, usually people don't want to talk to them for a long time. Because they're just going to get fish for a day. Fishing's a patient game, right? Hence the reason I don't fish. Sitting there like, no, I'm not a fisherman. But this idea of people, we have to be patient if we're going to attract people. We can't expect to put it out there and then all of a sudden they're going to run just at that moment. We have to be patient and wait for God to send us the people that he would have us send. How about benefit number six? Now, we're really getting to something that I can use because I definitely could use some better mental health in my life. This is what it says. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. You know what? People that aren't patient are usually stressed people. It's true. And when you have stress and you have too much stress, then you know what? Your mental health begins to go because you begin to worry about all the things that you're stressed about. Whereas if I'm a patient person and I'm waiting for God to bring it to me and I'm waiting for God to show me the path and I'm able to be still and look at the board, my health is better as far as my mentality goes. I'm not as stressed because you know what? It'll work itself out. Maybe not when I want it to, but it'll work itself out. So this idea that I get better mental health if I'm going to be patient, and you know what? It's not just a mental thing. The Bible says if I'm patient, I get better physical health. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Wouldn't you like to have that physical ability to just keep going and going like the Energizer Bunny? You never have to run out of energy. Well, I'm not promising you that. But we do know that when I get stressed because I'm worrying about all of the things that I've crammed in my life and all the decisions I have to make, then stress has an impact on me physically. I can't sleep. Therefore, when I can't sleep, I get tired. When I get tired, I get grumpy. And then I begin to stress even more. And then, you know what? It raises your blood pressure. It causes you to worry even more, and that can lead to heart disease. And all of these things happen. And if I would just learn to every now and then be able to go, I see the board. Let's just sit and look at the board for a bit. Now, again, my family will tell you I am not very good board starer when it comes to when I want something accomplished. I will go shortest distance between two points. And you know what? It causes some physical problems sometimes. In my relationships, it causes physical problems. There's distance between my relationships because I didn't take the time to be patient. How about this one? This is important. It will improve your compassion. James chapter 5, verse 11. As you know, we count as blessed to those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I love the story of Job. Remember who Job was? He was a rich man, had lots of family, had lots of friends, had a wife, had everything that you want. He had the American dream. And in the span of a day, it all went away. All of his kids got killed. His business went bankrupt. His health went south. God left his wife, but she pretty much discouraged him and said, curse God and die. Instead of encouraging Job to look toward God. Job's friends show up, and well, they waited for 3 days, but when they opened up their mouth, all they had was judgment for Job on what he must have done wrong to cause all this sin in his life. It was Job's fault. And Job could do nothing but sit and wait. Now, eventually, Job's patience runs out, and Job demands an audience with God. And God comes and explains to Job not what was going on in his life. He says, you know what? You don't get to ask me why. Let me explain to you. And he goes on for about 3 or 4 chapters. We'll talk about this and a little bit later in the year. He goes on for about 3 or 4 chapters just ranting at Job about why you shouldn't just say, God, you're not doing it the right way. But at the end of all of this, Job was a very compassionate man. It already said that Job was an upright man, but Job learned a new humility in what he went through. And he had to go through it, and he had to learn some patience. Because you know what? Patience gives you compassion because it begins to help you see other people for who they are. When I'm impatient, I want to pry people to go the way I want them to go. Patience makes me compassionate toward other people's needs. It can bring you peace. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto God, God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How are you sleeping these days? A lot going on in our world. I've never been a great sleeper. I struggle a lot with sleep. But you know what? This idea of peace is something that I think everybody in our society is looking for. Unfortunately, I think we're looking in the wrong place. we want our government to give it to us, or our job, or our happiness, or some other external source. And God says, you know what? If you patiently wait on me, peace. When you humble yourself, I'll take care of the anxiety. We're going to talk about dealing with this idea of fear, not in the next sermon series, but the one after that. But you need to understand. Peace means patience. If you're impatient, you will never be at peace. The two work opposite of each other. You have to be patient if you're going to live in peace. And here's the one that I saved all the way to the end, because this is the one that's really important. Patience means it's the way to practice faith. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. You do understand, Jesus was the most patient person in the universe when it came to dealing with people. Think about the guys that he had recruited to be his core group. Oh my gosh, he must have gotten so frustrated with the way that they did things. And they didn't ever do anything right. They didn't do anything the way they told him. They couldn't even do simple things sometimes. God must have been so frustrated. But Jesus just patiently waited for them. Just kept coaching along with them. Just kept ministering to them. And he was actually painting out an example of what it means to live faith. You cannot live the Christian life without patience. What? I'll say that again, and I'll back it up. You cannot live the Christian life without patience. You realize it's one of the components of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Right in the middle of it. Right in the heart of what is supposed to be the fruit is the patience idea. You cannot live an impatient Christian life, because if you begin to live an impatient Christian life, it means that you will get ahead of God and not wait on what he's asking you to do. It means that you'll start playing the board, and you'll start being the person in charge of the board, and you'll kick Christ out of control of the board. You see, for us to actually live this life successfully, we're going to have to be still and know that Jesus is God. And sometimes that means I'm just going to have to wait patiently. Now, you notice those two words. Again, wait and patience are not the same thing. If you wait, and the way you wait is, okay, God, now. Lord, I'm tired of this. Lord, do something different. Lord, do something. If that's the way you wait, then you understand you're not living by faith. The only way to live this Christian life is with some patience. And that means sometimes we're going to have to take the plans that we've got, put them to the back burner, and say, God, I'll wait for the board. And I'm not going to move until I see it. I'm going to sit here and wait on you until you say, move. We know how Josh's story ended, because I showed you that at the end of the year. He did indeed win that final match. And he did indeed incorporate some of those skills that he got from Vinny with the moving of the pieces and playing a little speed chess here and there. But when it came down to the moment, and his opponent had made that last mistake, that one mistake, remember the clip I showed you all the way back at the end of the year? Josh had to sit and patiently look at the board. Patiently see what God had in store for those moves. He had to wait. And it says, don't move until you see what it is God wants you to do. You know, we're going to go through probably a few more weeks. You know, the groundhog says we got about 6 more weeks of this stuff. And snow makes me impatient. I don't like snow because it slows me down. And I have to shovel it, or somebody has to shovel it. It has to get out of my way, and so I don't like this, but I think maybe these past 2 weeks leading into this sermon is exactly what we needed to hear. Because you know what? We can get so impatient. We saw it last year in the virus. We see it even now. We can get so impatient with wanting things to change that we forget God is in control. So let me encourage you.